From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Happy Halloween, everyone. Later tonight, Ghost to Ghost, your stories. Here's what's happening. Tesla has won the first major U.S. trial over allegations that its autopilot driver assistant feature led to a death, a major victory for the automaker as it faces several other lawsuits and federal investigations related to that same technology. The verdict represents Tesla's second big win this year, in which injuries have declined to find that the software was defective. So far, so good. It has been 1 year since Elon Musk bought Twitter for $44 billion, and in an internal memo, employees of the platform were told that Twitter is now worth $19 billion. It has lost $25 billion in net worth. Americans are losing confidence about economic outlook. For the third month in a row, consumer confidence falls. Let's check in with investment analyst Charles Koppus. Well, you've been saying this for some time now. It looks like it's starting to happen, Charles.
Yes, indeed. You know, and we're seeing concerns about rising prices, interest rates, and now war and rumors of war. And, you know, last time I mentioned that retail sales are up, but mostly it's the food and energy sector. And of course, that's not part of the core index. But tomorrow, the Fed's expected to keep interest rates high, and we can really see how that's killing the real estate market. I think it's about 8% now on the loans. Jeez. And with the U.S. GDP, it was about 2% in the first two quarters here, but it was up 4.9% in the last quarter. And the Biden officials were real quick to say, hey, we have a booming economy, but 20% of our GDP is government spending. And last quarter actually was a new record for spending on war and welfare and debt and so on. In fact, they say we only have 3 or 4% inflation when it's really closer, you know, to 8 or 10%. But so we really have negative GDP growth, if you take that into regard. I mean, in a recent poll, 60% said we might have a recession, but economists say a recession is when you have two negative quarters. But when we account for real inflation and not the nominal inflation, they tell us, you know, we're already in a recession. I mean, this really shows how ignorant people are about economics, but they're feeling the pain, you know. And the Conference Board Consumer Confidence Index, it's about 100 years old. It takes household surveys, and it created the cost of living index, but it always understates inflation, as they usually do. And economists say now we're facing stagflation. We've heard about that, slow growth, inflation, high unemployment. And I see the PMI, the manufacturing index, been below 50 for 14 months. The last time we saw this trend was before the big crash, the dot-com crash in 2001. But, you know, unemployment rate is about 3.8%, but you have about 270 million people working age, but with 160 million in the labor force. So you really have about 100 million, 40%, that are not working for various reasons, elderly or younger or whatever. But out of these, only 50% really have a full-time job. A lot of gig economy jobs out there. So it's a tough time for households. But, you know, how can you have a booming economy with worker strikes, homelessness, looting, food insecurity? And now we have the real uncertainty of war escalating in the Middle East. And this is very concerning, George. I mean, you know, unlike World War One or World War Two, today's media matrix is covering this 24/7, and it's leading to protests all over the place. And, you know, if you think NATO is risking war with Russia right now and Ukraine, I mean, this is even worse because, you know, you're talking about religion and ideology. And this is an age-old conflict that's leading to prophetic events that I see in the Bible. I've written about this in my own book. And, of course, this will have an impact on the global economy, and I think America in particular. And if people want to look at that, they can go to my website at idpconsultinggroup.com and my book, Sarah, who knows, might be a good Christmas gift.
Thank you, my friend. Have an enjoyable couple weeks. We'll talk to you soon. And as Charles was talking, why does there seem to be so much evil on this planet? With us is expert Heidi Hollis. Heidi, a question we're posing to you. There seems to be evil all over the place. What's happening?
Happy Halloween there, George. You know, evil exists because it's allowed to. I mean, so many times people write me about their confrontations with something evil like shadow people or Hat Man, but rarely do they say, like, by the way, Heidi, I called out to God to help me or something. Usually I get, I don't get into that religious thing, but I just saw the devil. And I like to ask them, isn't that a religious title, the devil? You know, you would think giving a negative title like that, that people would pray. There's a polar opposite, like, I don't know, God. But now people believe we are all gods. So I wonder how they all made themselves up to exist without a remedy for when evil approaches them.
Do you think if people are more spiritual, evil tends to go away?
You know, I think if people call upon there being something that can overpower the evil, because if we could take it on fully for who we are and for what it is, we'd be able to do that, because, of course, we want to defeat what's right in front of us, but we can't. I mean, these things are ancient evil. We need to call on something that is its equal, but on the other side. So it's, yeah, stand your ground, but also realize that you have to look to a higher power. We are not powerful enough to take these things on. I always tell people, don't challenge it, don't run, stand your ground, and call on a higher power. God is my choice.
Good point, Heidi. Thanks. Heidi's website, HeidiHollis.com. Thank you, Heidi. Up next, pharmacist Ben Fuchs joins us from CriticalHealthNews.com. Let's start another record. Hit the website, CriticalHealthNews.com. Toll-free number to call for assistance, not to get on the show, but for help, 1-855-949-7234. Up next, pharmacist Ben Fuchs on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Ghost to Ghost starts later on tonight, so make sure you stay with us all night long. Pharmacist Ben Fuchs with us, registered pharmacist, nutritionist, cosmetic chemist, has been compounding custom medications for years and is part of the CriticalHealthNews.com team. Pharmacist Ben, welcome back, my friend. Happy Halloween.
Greetings, George Norrie, and happy Halloween to you as well and all the Coast to Coast listeners.
So why is sugar bad for us?
Oh, my goodness. You know, human beings didn't evolve with sugar. When we were growing up on the African savanna, from an evolutionary perspective, there wasn't a lot of sugar. You were lucky if you got a little berry here or there, or maybe some honey if you were brave enough to challenge the bees. So our bodies developed or evolved to be sugar-seeking machines, because sugar has a certain biological value. You need sugar to run your brain. Your cells, to a certain extent, run on sugar. So The body developed this one-pointed desire for sugar, and we are sugar-seeking machines from an evolutionary perspective. But what the body didn't count on, unfortunately, was candy machines every 20 yards and 7-Elevens and marketing and the ability to procure and the ability to ingest sugar to the abundant extent that we have today. And so we're suffering from living in a prehistoric, old body, ancient body, a body that's hundreds of thousands of years old in a modern world. You know, look at our modern world. Our modern world is only about 100 to 150 years old, but our bodies are hundreds of thousands of years old, maybe even millions of years old. We haven't quite adjusted. And so when our bodies are very sensitive to this molecule, sugar. And now we have this abundance of sugar. Everybody's eating sugar. And because the body is designed to want sugar, to crave sugar, and our neurology is set up so that we find sugar enjoyable and pleasurable, it's very hard to resist, especially given the fact that we've created a culture that encourages us to be dissatisfied. You know, when you're in love, you don't eat. Have you ever hear that? When you're in love with somebody, you don't feel like eating. When you're passionate about your work, you don't feel like eating. When you're out in the sun, you don't feel like eating. When you're enjoying your life, you eat a lot less. You eat a lot less food calories in general, and you eat a lot less sugar. But because we have a sense of dissatisfaction in our lives, and because sugar triggers happy hormones, pleasure chemistry, it's a very easy, quick fix to enjoy a Häagen-Dazs ice cream or candy bars or all the foods that are marketed and promoted as treats and desserts.
That old Julie Andrews song, just a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. What does she mean by that?
Well, can you imagine the world before sugar, when it was very difficult? Only kings and queens could get sugar. You know, it was
a commodity.
It was only rich people had sugar up until the 1600s and 1700s. In fact, the New World, the United States, and the Dominican Republic and Haiti, was when it was discovered, one of the first things they did was grow sugar. That was one of the first things that happened in the new continent, was they figured that the climate here was good for growing sugar, and that was the first thing they did. They tried to get the Indians to grow the sugar. And by the way, making sugar is a very difficult process. A lot of heat is involved in making sugar, and this is how the slave trade began, was initially to force people to make sugar for rich Europeans.
I've got some email questions for you. We're going to take calls at the half and all of next hour with you, Ben. Bart L. sends in an email that says, can you ask pharmacist Ben, when's the best time to take supplements or vitamins?
Great question.
Morning, lunch,
yeah.
After dinner?
Great question.
And should you take pills throughout the day or one at a time?
Those are great questions. So first of all, the best time to do your supplements is is after meals. And it's always good to, or with meals, because the digestive juices are going. And in a way, supplements are kind of like food. They're the active ingredients in food. And while when you're eating food and your digestive juices are flowing, you're going to get better absorption of the nutrients. So with your meals is usually the best time to take your supplements. First thing in the morning is a great time to take your supplements because you're somewhat depleted. Through the night, you've done some biological work and biochemical processing, and so you're depleted of nutrients. So first thing in the morning is a great time to do nutrients, particularly water-soluble nutrients like the B complex and vitamin C. And also another great time to do your supplements is after you work out for the same reason. You've depleted your body's stores of nutrients for muscle contraction and exercise, so your body is kind of like a dry sponge. You know, a dry sponge sucks up more water than a wet sponge, and when you're in this dry sponge state, after a workout or first thing in the morning, you're going to get better absorption. And lastly, it's always best to spread out your doses. And that's true about medicine, and it's also true about supplements, particularly the water-soluble supplements, which the body has a kind of use-it-or-lose-it sort of perspective. And if you try to take all your supplements, take your supplements all at once, your body may not be able to absorb all those supplements. You may end up urinating them out or excreting them out.
How's Doc doing? I hear he fell a couple days ago.
Yeah, Doc, he's had a little, I think he had a little bone fracture or something. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but he's in some pain. But you know what? He's not taking any drugs. I'll tell you that.
No, he's not. Let's hope he makes it in 3 weeks back on the show.
I hope he does as well. Yeah, I know a lot of people miss him. And he's very impressive, Doc. You know, he has never taken any medication. He doesn't like to go to doctors, which I can't say I blame him. And he's kind of muscling through this thing. And he's a pretty amazing 80-plus-year-old guy.
Well, you know, this is the second time he's fallen. He fell in a hole a couple of years ago.
He stepped in a hole. I remember that. He was having a hard time then, too, so... Yeah, accidents happen. But metabolically, Doc is in amazing shape. He never had a prescription drug. He doesn't go to doctors. And he is, I think he's 83 or 84 years old.
No, I take my supplements at about 4 or 5 at a time over the span of an hour. Is that pretty good?
You take all your supplements for the day in the span of an hour?
Yes.
It's better than take them all at once, but why don't you divide them out throughout the day?
Well, because I don't have that kind of time to go back and forth.
Yeah, the convenience. Do you take a lot of supplements, a lot of different pills?
Yes, I sure do.
Like, would you say 50 or 60 a day?
No, but they contain everything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what to do. You've been doing this your whole life, George.
Exactly. But, no, I'll take 4 or 5 at a time, take a break.
Do you take the food?
Sometimes with just water, sometimes in the morning, and... back and forth, and it's working for me.
I can tell it's working for you. You're looking great.
Doing my thing. How about you? How long have you been supplementing?
I started supplementing in pharmacy school, a little before pharmacy school. I was a weightlifter when I was younger, before I went to pharmacy school, and we were always hip to nutrition. You know, when you're weightlifting or when you're an athlete, you're always looking for edges to get stronger, to perform better. And so we used to read the bodybuilding magazines back in the day, and they were always talking about whey protein and B-complex and carnitine and creatine. And so I got this idea that there was something that you could do to build the body with nutrition. And then in pharmacy school, it dawned on me that the same mechanisms, the same way that nutrition could improve your ability to perform do athletic performances, it could build your body just to be healthier. And I started using supplements in pharmacy school, and then I noticed my skin would improve and my hair would improve, and I just felt better. And so I started recommending them in pharmacies when I was working in pharmacies.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs with us from criticalhealthnews.com. We're going to take calls at the half and next hour as well before Ghost to Ghost. It's that time of year again, Mr. Fuchs.
Happy Halloween.
Did you now? What was your favorite Halloween costume when you were a kid?
I was partial to the superheroes, Batman and Superman. How about you?
Zorro.
Is that right? I can see that, actually.
You remember him?
Yeah, of course I remember Zorro. Slightly before my time, but just very slightly. I remember Zorro. I remember the cartoon Zorro. And I could see you being Zorro, actually, George and Ari.
Well, my family used to check all the candy when we came home, because in those days, I don't know if we've heard many cases today, but sickos would put pins and things in some candy.
Back in the day, back then?
Yeah. Yeah, they would.
Right. Yeah, there's some craziness out there in the world today. I heard that gal talking about evil. You know, there's some horrible things happening.
Wonder why.
You know, I was thinking that when she was talking. I wonder, George, if it has to do with child rearing. Because, you know, one-year-old kids playing in a sandbox, they're not evil. But something happens between the ages of 3 and 4 where kids get a little tweaked. And I wonder sometimes if it has to do with how we're raising our kids. What do you think?
That is partially it, I think. It could be deficiencies.
It could be nutritional deficiencies, yeah. It
could be a brain matter.
Yeah, that's right. You know, deficiencies in zinc, deficiencies in the B complex will cause kids to have anger issues and emotional disturbances. That's a good point, George.
What has been for you the most dramatic change in an individual who started supplementation that you may know about?
Oh, my gosh. Well, the one that really had the most impact on me was a kid, a young guy, he was in his 30s or 40s. I only talked to him on the phone, but he had stage 4 colon cancer. And I put on a program, and I can't say exactly what I did reverse his cancer, but his cancer reversed. And that's the most dramatic thing that happened that I've been privy to experiencing. But skin problems disappearing, psoriasis disappearing, acne disappearing, that happens all the time. Autoimmune symptoms completely reversing, multiple sclerosis. There's some really dramatic things that I've seen. The most striking was this kid with the colon cancer, though. I'll never forget that.
That's pretty dramatic. Ben Fuchs with us from criticalhealthnews.com. That's the website to go to. Let's set another record doing it. So what have you been up to lately?
Well, I just got back in California. I did a whole tour for Youngevity, helping my friend Dr. Ariaza, who's got this amazing liver cleanse. Folks who have liver issues, and a lot of people do, Youngevity has got an amazing liver cleanse that Dr. Ariaza, who's a big muckety-muck in Youngevity, developed. I helped him. He did a convention or a conference, and I helped him. I did a little talk there, and I went to IMZ, did a talk there, and I did some stuff for my skincare company. And I just keep myself busy, like you.
Why are there so many melanoma cases, Ben?
Because that's a great question. I noticed that people are using a lot of sunscreens, but melanoma rates are going up. And what everybody needs to understand, skin cancer and melanoma are not necessarily skin issues as much as they are cancer issues. Cancer is a sign that the body is under duress, specifically if cells are under duress. And given the way we live our lives and given the way the nutritional deficiencies, and the foods we eat and the stresses that we suffer from, stress, by the way, suppresses the immune system, it's not surprising that rates of cancer will go up. As far as melanoma goes, melanoma, even though people think it's a skin issue, happens inside the body as often as it happens outside the body. I remember in pharmacy school, we had to do a cadaver. We had to examine a cadaver, and when we cut this cadaver open, he had melanomas. This poor gentleman had melanomas all throughout the inside of his body.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? And melanoma happens in the brain. It happens inside the body. So it's not really a sun issue as much as it's a cancer issue, and cancers are the end result of cells in duress. And they keep telling you about vaccines for cancer and cures for cancer. There is not going to be a vaccine for cancers, and there's not going to be a cure for cancer, because cancer is a coping mechanism, a cellular coping mechanism. When cells are under duress, that is when they're starved, when they're missing nutrition, when they're suffocated, when they're not getting enough oxygen, and when they're toxified, when they're toxic, and sugar being a major toxin, by the way, they revert into an ancient way of processing energy, which forces them to divide rapidly, and that's what cancer is. You know, cancer is like a sociopathic cell. instead of becoming a liver or becoming a bone or becoming skin or becoming an organ of the body, a cell is like, you know what? You haven't been feeding me. You haven't been breathing me. You've been making me swim in toxicity. I am not going to be a liver. I'm just going to divide myself. Sort of like a sociopathic person who has been abused. All of a sudden, he doesn't care about anybody else. He just cares about himself. And that's what a cancer cell is. It's a cell that doesn't become an organ. It just divides and divides and divides and uses up nutrients, ultimately killing the patient.
Up next, we start calls with pharmacist Ben Fuchs from CriticalHealthNews.com. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with pharmacist Ben Fuchs. We're going to take calls this half hour and next hour with Ben. Now, I give out a toll-free number to those of you who do not have time to write down what pharmacist Ben is talking about or Doc Wallach when he's here. There's a staff of CriticalHealthNews.com workers taking notes to what they say, and it's available to you when you call this number. So just keep this number that I'm going to give you. 1-855-949-7234, which is the same as 1-855-949-RADIO. Just think of it like that in case you forget. But they're always there to help you and give you information when you call and say, hey, pharmacist Ben was talking about this, or Doc Wallach was talking about that. I missed it. I was driving. They'll tell you all about it because they're listening to the show, they're recording it, they're taking notes. And let's start with pharmacist Ben Fuchs. That's a great service you provide, though, Ben.
Thank you. I appreciate that, George. And I'm going to do it till my last breath. I will be doing it.
Well, hopefully that's a long time away.
I got a long time. Yes, that's true.
Let's go to the phones. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Let's talk to an old friend, Thomas in La Jolla, California. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Oh, George, thank you for accepting my call. Blessings to the entire audience, every man, every woman. And pharmacist Ben, really appreciate the work that you and Dr. Wallach do.
Thank you, Tom.
I have a friend. She just turned 50. She's not on longevity. She's a very prolific academic writer and essayist. She chain smokes in private.
Oh, my.
And I'm not into blame, shame, or guilt, you know, and I'll let her smoke in front of me. But, you know, she has a very melodious voice, but when she smokes, it turns to gravel.
Yeah.
Do you have any suggestions?
Absolutely.
Breathing exercises?
Well, yeah, deep breathing exercise is great. Also, after you smoke, you lose vitamin C, probably about 25 or 30 milligrams of vitamin C for every cigarette. So after she smokes, it would be a good idea for her to use her Beyond Tangy Tangerine. That's true for all smokers. Use some Beyond Tangy Tangerine and gargle with the Beyond Tangy Tangerine to help neutralize some of those free radicals in the throat and in the mouth area from the cigarette smoke. So anybody who's smoking, after you smoke, use Beyond Tangy Tangerine and maybe swish some around in your mouth. Vitamin E is also, by the way, very helpful for smokers. It has lung protective benefits. You'll get that in the Ultimate Daily from Longevity. She wants to use that. And then, interestingly, there's a molecule that's produced in the intestine when you don't have the right kind of bacteria called histamine, the same kind of stuff that's produced, that's secreted when you have hay fever or pollen reactions. This histamine that's secreted out of the gut can exacerbate carcinogenesis, can stimulate cancers. So after in addition to the Beyond Tangy Tangerine and the vitamin E, she may want to start using gut support strategies, intestinal support strategies, including things like the nightly essence from Longevity. This is true for anybody who's doing toxic things in their body. Histamine can amplify toxicity. Histamine is produced in the small intestine under conditions of what's called dysbiosis or messed up gut bacteria. So using things like the Daily Digest from Longevity or the Ultimate Enzymes from Longevity, those all help as well.
I've got a Life magazine with the Rat Pack on the cover.
The Rat Pack from Frank Sinatra and
Yeah,
Sammy
picture
Davis.
Of Sammy Davis Jr., Sinatra, and Dean Martin. The three of them are sitting there laughing.
Smoking, probably.
And each one has a cigarette in their hands.
Yeah, I know. That used to be accepted. Even
And they all died from cigarette-related...
I know. They didn't know, I guess. They didn't know because...
Nobody knew.
Even in the 1970s, there were ashtrays everywhere and cigarette machines everywhere, and parents were smoking in the cars and in their houses and didn't pay any attention, didn't think about what they were doing to their kids. So, you know, it's only we really didn't understand health anywhere near as accurately and as comprehensively as we do today, even a mere 30, 40, 50 years ago.
Well, a lot of kids are vaping these days.
That's not good.
That's not good.
No. It's really bad. Some of the chemicals in the vaping, especially the flavor chemicals in the vaping solutions, are terrible. Absolutely hideous. It's not quite as bad as tar, maybe. I was looking at a cigarette commercial the other day, one of these retro YouTube videos I was watching, and they're talking about low tar. And I thought to myself, why would anybody put tar in their body? Smoke tar in their lungs. And vaping, you don't get the same kind of tars, but you do get these flavoring molecules and these other chemical excipients that can wreak havoc on the lungs. And it's definitely not a good thing to do.
Next up, we go to whose turn? It's Lori in North Carolina. Hi, Lori. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hey, Lori.
I heard you say that you helped someone with colon cancer.
Yes, that is true.
I have not had... been diagnosed with cancer, but I am having some major colon issues.
Yes, you want to definitely take care of that. And as I was talking about with Tom earlier, the last caller, problems in the colon are related to all chronic diseases. So taking care of the colon is like cutting the head off of the snake, if I can use that metaphor, in the sense that you can eliminate problems that don't seem like they're related to the colon, including dementias and Parkinson's disease and autoimmunity and respiratory problems. These are all related to messed up or gut bacteria, or what's called dysbiosis. And you really, really need to have that correct. And there's lots of strategies for doing that. In fact, Longevity is known for its digestive health support supplements, including things like the Daily Digest and the Ultimate Enzymes and the Ultimate Nightly Essence, probiotics and Ultimate Microbiome. It's got wonderful digestive support supplements. In addition to that, looking out for problem foods is very, very important. And doing a food diary where you link your colon problems, gas and bloating and constipation, et cetera, discomfort, with specific foods and then eliminating those foods. And I'll tell you something else that's wonderful for the colon. Not eating, not putting food in the colon. You know, when you don't eat, I was just reading an article, by the way, on intermittent fasting for folks who have type 2 diabetes. Apparently, and we've talked about this before, but now the medical folks are agreeing that fasting is one of the best things somebody with diabetes can do. Well, we can all benefit from fasting. In fact, one of the most important things that happens when you don't put food into your body is your body cleans itself out. The body cleans dead cells and defective cells out, and waste from the colon is eliminated when you fast. And eliminating waste from the colon is a major strategy for improving colon health. People will recognize that after they fast for a day or two, they have incredible bowel movements because the body cleans itself out when we don't eat. By the way, George, you know that sound that your stomach makes when you're hungry?
That gurgling.
So. You know what that gurgling is? Everybody thinks they're supposed to eat, right? That gurgling is your intestine cleaning itself out. And we go ahead and eat. When we don't eat, our body becomes like a self-cleaning dishwasher. It cleans itself out, particularly our colon. But when we hear that gurgling, which we should be respecting as a sign that the body is cleaning itself out, it's detoxifying, we go ahead and eat. And eating is one of the most effective ways to shut down the movement of food from the colon out of the body.
Are you saying don't eat at all?
No, I'm saying that sound is a sign that your body is cleaning itself out, like a self-cleaning dishwasher.
I know, but you earlier said don't eat.
Oh, well, don't eat. I'm saying don't eat forever. but eat less and skip meals. Well,
that's the smart thing to do.
Yes, less calories, less food. You know, I was driving, down the coast of California last week. There are so many restaurants and so many ways to get food and so many shopping food stores and so many billboards advertising foods. It's impossible to get away from this. You have to use your willpower to not eat. But it is so important from a longevity and health perspective to reduce your calories and reduce the amount of food that you eat.
There's a product on television, I won't mention its name, that is selling a self-testing colon kit.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And the disclaimer at the end says, may give you a false positive.
Well, isn't that great?
What kind of a disclaimer is that?
Right. That's great to see. Yeah, I know. And God, there's no good cancers, but colon cancer, oh my God, that is a horrible, horrible thing to have to suffer through. In fact, any kind of colon problem is horrible to suffer through. Diverticulitis and Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. And George, these are food disorders.
Yeah, I have a friend of mine that just had 2 feet of his colon removed.
Oh my goodness, that is so horrible. And you're never the same again because nutrients are absorbed in the colon. It is the seat of health and wellness and also disease. The small intestine. And the small intestine is not supposed to have a lot of bacteria in it, but when we take Nexium and Prilosec and these drugs that suppress acid, or if we had our gallbladder taken out, or if we're clogged up and constipated, or even if we're eating foods like avocados and pears and apples, these can feed bacteria in the small intestine and completely throw off the body's metabolism and lead to every single chronic health challenge is related to this condition, which I've been calling dysbiosis, and using digestive support supplements is an amazingly valuable strategy for folks who are dealing with any chronic disease.
If you can't get through on the phones, Tom's taking your texts and tweets. Tom, what do you have for Ben?
George, I got to tell you, I thought I was the only one that noticed that commercial. So
with that disclaimer at the
Unbelievable.
End? Unbelievable. Yeah, it really is.
Ben, Nancy in Louisville would like to know if a person can drink too much water in a day and how much should they actually drink?
Well, you know, that's a great question. There's no specific amount, but it's a lot more than you think.
You can overdo it with water.
You can overdo it with water, but it's not the water that's the problem. It's the dilution of your electrolytes. So when you drink a lot of water, you excrete and you dilute your sodium and your potassium, your calcium, your magnesium, these electrolytes that are responsible for electrical action at the level of the nerves and the level of the heart and the muscles. So what you want to do if you're drinking water is drink Beyond Tangy Tangerine with it. And the Beyond Tangy Tangerine will help you with your electrolytes. So water's great, and we need a lot more water than we think we do. But every once in a while, put a little bit of Beyond Tangy Tangerine in your water to make sure that you're replacing your electrolytes.
Just a little capful, right?
A little capful is fine. Yeah, exactly. Replacing the electrolytes. And also, you know what else is a great source of water is vegetable juice. Because vegetable juices don't just give you water, George. They give you magic water. And when I'm saying magic water, I ain't kidding. It's crystalline water or structured water. You may have heard that term, structured water. This is a kind of water that is shaped like a crystal, and vegetables are very high in this structured water. You can actually make your own structured water by putting water in a blender with your Beyond Tangy Tangerine. So drinking water, drinking vegetable juices, making sure you're throwing in some Beyond Tangy Tangerine, incredibly valuable, especially first thing in the morning. Because throughout the evening, you've lost water. You've gone to the bathroom a couple times. You've sweat out water. So we tend to be dehydrated first thing in the morning. And coffee, of course, is even more dehydrating. It's a diuretic. So drinking 3 or 4 tall glasses of cold water first thing in the morning can give you enough energy that you'll drink less or maybe not even drink coffee at all.
What are some of the symptoms of dehydration?
Pain, back pain, brain fog. Changes in heart function and blood pressure if it gets really bad. Changes in skin health if it gets really bad. Fatigue, lethargy, depression, all kinds.
Oh, my God, that's huge.
Exactly. Back pain. Chronic back pain can be caused.
Well, how do you know how much to drink?
Well, you don't really know, so that's why you have to do extra. And by the way, a lot of folks say don't drink water with your meals. Wrong. You want to drink water with your meals because you want to have the food turn into soup. Ideally, you want to get your water from fresh vegetables and salads and such. But if you're drinking or if you're subsisting on processed food, you do want to have water when you drink because it helps you digest your food, and you'll eat less food if you drink water with your meals.
What is happening to the body when you feel thirsty?
That's a nervous signal. That's a brain signal. Your brain is saying we're dehydrated. The brain senses the water levels, the hydration levels in the blood specifically.
It gives you that craving.
And it gives you the craving, exactly. But you don't want to wait to get that craving. You don't want to wait till your body senses dehydration.
No, of course not.
Right? You want to be drinking throughout the day. You feel better when you drink water. Don't you feel better when you drink water, George?
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Especially when you're wiped out.
Yes. Yes, it has an energizing effect because you get more blood to your brain. Water dilutes the blood, and so you get a more blood volume, so you get more blood going to the brain. you think better. You think more clearly when you have brain. There's a wonderful book called Your Body's Many Cries for Water, which is an absolute classic in the water biz. And it's got all kinds of a guy named Iranian guy named Batman Jolly, I think his name is. I forgot how he says his name. And he's got all kinds of factoids about water and how helpful water is and how important dehydration is as a source of illness.
How much water sweats out through the skin?
You know, it's hard to say. It depends on how much you're working out, how much you're exercising, what the heat level is. Sweat is one of the ways the body detoxifies itself. So you want to be sweating. There are some people who can't sweat. And that can be a very toxic problem. And there are other people who sweat too much. There's a condition called hyperhidrosis.
Oh, sometimes I see people with sweat all over their faces.
Yeah, that's usually a sign of an activated stress nervous system, sympathetic nervous system.
The website is criticalhealthnews.com. Go to it. The toll-free number to call again for people who are there working away, toiling away, taking notes to what pharmacist Ben is saying, 1-855-949-7234. 1-855-949-RADIO. Did you give out any candy tonight, Ben?
You know, I had one pair of little girls coming to my door out of all, you know, the whole night. And I bought a big bag of candy. I have this whole, all this candy sitting.
It wasn't as widespread this year.
Did you notice that too?
Yeah, it's weird.
And I wonder what that's about. I mean, I was all prepared and nobody came.
I'll talk a little bit about that during Ghost to Ghost later on in the program. But we're going to come back and take some more calls. With an hour to go of pharmacist Ben Fuchs on Coast to Coast AM.